This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today we have a very special guest, Megan Thiemann from PETA. And we're going to be talking about when you take your family on a road trip and you see a cute little goat on the side of the road or a cow and you want to pet them. So, Megan, I give you the floor.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, we are here just to talk about, you know, it's summertime and families are going to be traveling and looking for things to do. And some of those things that you might see are some signs for interactive aquariums or drive-through safari parks or photo opportunities with animals. And these are going to be held at places we call roadside zoos. They're unaccredited facilities that work for animals to live in barren mall enclosures. And we're just encouraging everyone, if you love animals, please stay away from these facilities.
Now, suppose we get our wish and nobody goes to these places. My fear is what happens to these animals.
The good thing is that there are sanctuaries here in the United States that are prepared to take on these animals. Unfortunately, there is a high need for them because of these roadside zoos, but we have already rescued hundreds of animals from these facilities that are now placed into beautiful, caring homes where they're getting the treatment that they deserve. You know, they're maybe kept in grass for the first time in their life. They're getting adequate veterinary care. They're getting a proper diet and, you know, mental stimulation, things through positive enrichment. So we've seen it done. And the goal would be to get these roadside zoos, all of them that are left here in the United States, to be shut down and those animals get into reputable sanctuaries.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, we see it all the time online with our YouTube that, you know, a lot of farms take in these animals, you know, they want to sell this horse or they want to slaughter this animal and they buy them and they bring them to their farms. That's what we need. We need more people to make themselves known who have the acreage to be able to maintain with these animals, because there are a lot of wonderful people out there that do take these animals in. So what is PETA's stance on how they're going about this?
So we are receiving complaints, hundreds of complaints a week about these roadside zoos. And you don't have to be an animal welfare expert to see when an animal is in distress. So we're doing our best to try to work with authorities to get these facilities shut down and send the animals to reputable facilities. At these sanctuaries, they'll be able to get proper care that they deserve. Right now, in these roadside zoos, they often are living on concrete. They are not even getting a proper diet. You know, some of them don't even have access to fresh water. So these are places that are just not giving the best standard of care to their animals, and they're often exploiting the animals just to make money.
That's exactly what they are doing. You know, like pony rides, you know, kids' parties.
Yeah, absolutely. And the animals that are, you know, like you're referring to, maybe it's like the traveling exhibitors and traveling acts that we see that go to fairs or birthday parties. And, you know, that's just incredibly dangerous to have any type of interaction between humans and wild animals. They are wild animals that do not want to be cut by us in any way. And whether it's smaller lizard or a bigger, potentially dangerous animal like a black bear. No matter what it is, they don't want to be used or touched by us. And the reality is that there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, you know, or they're just given the wrong information by the people who are running these facilities.
So to all our viewers out there, just keep on trucking. Don't stop, wave, and maybe write down where you saw it. And could they contact you to let you know?
Absolutely. Like I said, we receive complaints every day about these roadside zoos and these facilities. And most of the time, we are very aware of the facility that people are mentioning. And there's also so much more information on our website. People can visit PETA.org/roadside zoos. And that'll give everyone a little bit more of a visual understanding of what they should be looking out for and some red flags.
Okay. And what states do you think have the most of them? I mean, like rural areas, right?
Yeah. Definitely. You know, you would think that having a large collection of animals means you should have a lot of land, but these places don't care about that. You know, they're forcing their animals to live in these tiny enclosures and that are often falling apart, that are concrete, that do not let the animals have any freedom or any chance to be a wild animal. So, you know, we see them everywhere. We see them right in big cities. We see them on the outskirts. And luckily, there are certain states that have their own regulations on these exotic animals. So we're just really hoping that the laws are going to continue to change for the better.
And why don't you give us that website again? And I guess you you get donations. Is that how this works? Or you get any money from any organizations?
Yeah, we are a strictly nonprofit. So we get multiple donations. We have millions of supporters, you know, nationwide and beyond. And people just trying to support our cause. And especially in my line of work, we're looking out for active animals and these animals that are suffering at roadside zoos and traveling exhibitors. And the hope is that we can shut all these facilities down as we have in the past, rescued hundreds of animals so far, that now they went from these horrible, decrepit, barren enclosures, and now they're living on, you know, acres of grass, and they're getting the care that they deserve.
So when you see a roadside menagerie like this, you stop, talk to them, or you report it, and then there's another step. From the time you see it to the time the animal is freed, how long is that?
It really depends on the facility. It's usually a long process because there's a lot of legalities involved. Like I said, we're receiving so many complaints about these facilities, and when these facilities are open to the public, they must be certified and inspected by the USDA. So when the USDA goes and inspects these places, they're looking for proper animal welfare and that federal law, the Animal Welfare Act. So these places that are just simply refusing to give these animals the best standard of care are going to get cited by the USDA.
These roadside places, say you want to go in and look, you act like a tourist. Is that how you get to, besides the people that call them in, you're driving down the road, Route 66, and you see one, would you stop and go and look?
I would never visit a roadside zoo, no.
I'm talking about for work, you know, for Peter, to save the animals. Would you stop?
We are often working with sanctuaries, so we will kind of do the legwork behind the rescuing, and then the sanctuary will step in if they're capable and able to take the animals. They'll be able to go and rescue the animals once everything is settled. But as far as what we do, you know, yes, we can go and visit, and just as the general public might. Nothing stopping me from going in and looking at these facilities, but I don't want to support them in any way unless I have to.
Yeah, no, I wasn't, you know, referring to that. I'm just saying if you saw something, you see something, you say something. That's all I was talking about. I would never go either.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. And a lot of people, like I said, these are just general public that are just going on a vacation and they're going to see animals. And they don't know that it's a bad place. And then once you walk in, you quickly realize that these animals are not being treated properly. And that's where we get these complaints just from the general public who's going and observing it.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very enlightening. And I hope all of our listeners will take heed. And why don't you tell us again the website where they could send donations?
Of course. Everyone can visit PETA.org. And then there's so much information on different divisions on what we are dealing with for animal abuse around the country. But for roadside zoos in particular, you can visit PETA.org/roadside zoos.
I really appreciate you coming on and, you know, enlightening us, because the kids are in the car. They've been driving for 6 hours. Oh, look, Mom, I want to stop, you know, and the kids are driving you crazy and the parents stop and they really don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I get it. I have a 2-year-old, so I'm constantly looking for things to do to entertain him. But these roadside zoos are not it. And you're definitely going to want to be looking for places that are either just animal free or are true accredited sanctuaries.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on. And anytime you have something that you want to tell us about, reach out and enjoy the rest of your summer. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be right back after the word from our sponsor. Stay tuned.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back, and that was a very interesting conversation. And let's continue on summer threats to our pets. Well, I like that title. It's been so hot, I'm in Florida, at 720 humidity hits. So all I could say is try to walk your animals earlier. Try to stay on grass because the pavement is so hot. If you can't get little booties, I can't believe I'm saying this. If you can't get little booties for the dogs, you could always go to the dollar store and get like toddler socks and put them on, because most places have blacktop. Where I live, I try to walk my Tilly and we go to the park. It's a lot of grass, but you got to watch out for their paws. And if they do get overheated, from what, you know, I used to think, you know, pour water on their head, their paws. It's not only the paws, but their chest. That helps regulate so they're a little cooler. And I don't know, I got Tilly a kiddie pool, and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I fill it up, and she's a big dog. I bring her out. She splashes around. I bathe her. She rolls around in it, jumps in, jumps out, and it's just the greatest. I mean, yes, we do go to the groomers for baths, but this is just when you can't get an appointment and it's like 96 degrees in the shade and it's humid. It's killer out there. And I wanted to talk about something else. Our esteemed host, Dr. Jeff, said on one of his programs, if you are traveling with your pet and you're going to be away for, you know, a week or some, you know, Airbnb or visiting family in a different part of the country where you live, he suggested bringing a couple of big gallons of your own water and kind of mixing it with the water of where you're going to be, because, you know, you don't need your animal to have an upset stomach and you don't know what it is, and then you got to go to a vet that you don't know. So I thought that was a very good suggestion. And of course, if you are traveling, just make sure beforehand that any place you're staying, it's pet friendly. Most places really are today. Even Airbnbs are pet friendly. Maybe a couple of extra bucks, big bucks, if you have a pet. But, you know, we don't leave our pets behind anymore. And if you're going to go away for a couple of weeks, you certainly don't want to bring them to any place, even though they're wonderful, on these pet resorts. If you could bring your pet with you, by all means. And if you are traveling by car, just know your pet's needs. And of course, they'll sleep for maybe 2-3 hours. But you have to keep in mind, they need to stretch their legs and have fresh water at all times. And we want our animals to be healthy. Remember to keep up with the vaccines. And summer with the mosquitoes and the ticks, heartworm, you must keep up with all these vaccines, kennel cough, and especially when you're traveling, if you decide to, you're in an area, maybe an Airbnb, and there's a dog park local, you might want to try that. Just keep in mind that I know where I am, we're already a pack, a well-established pack. But we love when newbies come. You know, they meet them at the gate and they sniff them and maybe they'll rough them up a little, but it's all in fun. So that's always a good thing. But, you know, it's been so hot and I think this might be the new normal, especially for where I am in Florida. But walk your animals early and late. I walk Tilly a lot during the day, but we go to the park and sometimes there's shade there. Fresh water is the best thing you could do. And if they don't drink a lot of water, Tilly will drink at the park, but she doesn't like to drink water at home. You could put a little dab of bone broth, like a just a shot, and they smell that and they'll drink. I'm big on fresh fruits. When we come back from the park, Tilly and I, we have blueberries, strawberries, and plain Greek yogurt. And that's like our, you know, 11 o'clock, 11:30 treat. And then at night, we have sliced apple. And all is well in the world. So I wish you a rest of the good summer. I think you'll enjoy this show because it talks about a lot of things that we as public can do, especially with Peter. And, you know, and taking good care of our pets, especially in the summer, the heat. Just like people up north in the winter take care of their animals in the snow and the ice when you got to walk them. It helps us also, gives us exercise. So I wish everybody a good rest of the summer. And I want to thank my producer, Mark, and I want to thank Tilly McGee for making me a dog owner again. Live Life Unleashed. Bye, everybody. See you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.